He arrived in one of the two helicopters. Then the first one disgorged its contents, led by Archbishop Marcinkus. I went forward to meet him, and he said, "Where's the papal transport?" And I said, "We don't use the papal transport." "Yeah, we do." Anyway, the Pope only had to walk a short distance on a red carpet from where the helicopter landed to the altar which we'd used for the Mass, which he was going to use for his address. So he gave the address there. It was, a fairly conventional one of praise for the local church. I mean, the details go on forever. You know, the first idea was that the mounted police were going to escort the Pope. I think they called it a 7-mile journey into Liverpool. But by the time they'd done all the timing, they reckoned the horses couldn't keep it up for 7 miles at the speed we needed to go. So we went back to the ordinary motorcade. The police reckoned that there were 1 million people on the streets eventually, which is more than the population of Liverpool, of course. And the phenomenon was this, that people were watching on their televisions and came out just as they needed to. So there wasn't a static crowd there, you know, with their packed lunches. They just came out when it was time to come out.
The Pope made a great many ecumenical visits during this trip. He did stop at the Anglican Cathedral in Liverpool and was welcomed by the Right Reverend David Shepherd, who Bishop of Liverpool back then.
I mean, it was a very big part in our preparation here. Archbishop Marcinkus came over on two occasions to go through the overall plan with us and wasn't at all seized of the idea of the Pope going to the Anglican Cathedral, saying, "If we do that here, we'll have to do it everywhere." And of course, Archbishop Warlock would be very emphatic about the distinctiveness of doing it here. So we made the bid, and so Archbishop Marcinkus came round. I think it was... I know it was a Sunday evening. We'd arranged to go over to the Anglican Cathedral to meet the Dean there and Bishop Shepherd and to talk through what the plan was, what would happen if. So we went through all the paces of how the Pope would be received, where he'd go, what he'd say, when he'd come back, and really played all our cards to the best advantage. The Dean was Edward Patey at that time, who was a very ecumenically minded man. And so we played all our cards, and I remember vividly standing in front of the sanctuary in the Anglican Cathedral at the end of the hour or so we'd spent. This is still not knowing whether this is going to happen or not. And Marcinkus standing pensively looking down the cathedral. And after what seemed like an eternity, it was probably all of about 20 seconds silence, I said, "Okay." And that was the day's work done. It was quite a dramatic moment waiting for that "okay." Essentially, the idea was that we would simply say the Lord's Prayer together in the Anglican Cathedral.
What would you say your abiding memories are of the trip?
Well... one, I suppose, again, is the thing that people see and ask you about. When the Pope arrived at our cathedral, there was a little line-up to receive him, consisting of the auxiliary bishops and myself. Archbishop Warlock was travelling with him on the Popemobile. So we were lined up at the entrance to the sacristy. And again, you'd have to know the geography to picture it exactly, but over the sacristy entrance there is a parapet on which there were numbers of people, of course, standing and craning over to look. So as the Holy Father arrived at the sacristy door, Archbishop Warlock presented each of us and said, "This is Monsignor Malone, who's done all the arrangements for your visit in the north of England." To which the Pope replied, as I explained to people who said, "What did he say?" I said, "I think he said, ugh." But then, having said ugh, he looked up to this crowd of people above the sacristy and waved to them in a benevolent kind of way. And then I was standing shoulder to shoulder with him at the time. And this is one of the pictures that appeared on the calendar that was in wide circulation thereafter. So he, having said his ugh and waved to the people, he then turned back to me and put hand on my shoulder and said, "It is a big job." So that sticks in the mind. He'd been working out in English what the Polish was, to be able to make his response. Then the other thing, I suppose, that sticks in the mind is at the end of the Mass, we'd arranged that the piazza outside the cathedral would be occupied by young people, because obviously there was a high pressure on the spaces, even though we'd allocated, what, 2,500 or whatever it was, seats in the cathedral. So the plan was that at the end of Mass, the Pope would go out through one of the emergency exits by the Blessed Sacrament Chapel onto the piazza, where Father Pat Harnett, who was the youth chaplain at the time, he had celebrated Mass with them at the same time as the Pope's Mass inside. So the Pope went outside to greet all the young people, as you know, he was very good at doing. And he said various encouraging things to them. But again, there's all sorts of trails go off into the distance. But you may or may not know, because Wojtyla and Warlock come close in the alphabet, the two of them had sat together on some committee in Rome. I forget which one it was now. But it had enabled Archbishop Derrick to speak to Carol at the time about the cathedral that was being built in his diocese here in Liverpool. And so the Pope was able to say to these young people, I have followed the story of the building of your cathedral with great interest, but you are the living cathedral of Christ the King. So that, of course, got a great round of applause, and that sticks in the mind in a particular way.